News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07. Congratulations for winning the nappies online with our texters. Thank you very much, CB Carl. See you there tomorrow night. We'll see a lot of you there tomorrow night. 251-343-0106. That is our text line.
It sure is. Right now it's time to head to the phone line and talk with good friend of the show, good friend of the station, Vince Allegri from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne. And what's on the farm this week? Hey, Vince, good morning.
Good morning.
So what is fresh at Allegri Farm Market this week? What you got going out there?
Right now, I'm looking across the field at the okra patch, and this time of morning is full of yellow blooms, but within about 5 hours, they'll all disappear and start turning into little green okra pods.
Hmm. That is awesome.
We still have the fresh red potatoes. We're going to sell them 5 pounds for just $2.99 this week and probably for a while. And we hope to be harvesting the next to last week on planting Saturday. But I'm out here sanding it right now. I'm thinking about tomorrow morning we're going to start picking a little bit.
All right. Yeah.
And rest.
Of course, those are just absolutely delicious. But you know what I love from Allegri Farm Market, too? Those tomatoes. And you got some of those Sand Mountain-picked red tomatoes.
We sure do. We got those in. And also this morning we got in some heirloom tomatoes and some cantaloupes and some watermelons raised by the Amish in Kentucky, and they're always good.
They are always good, especially when it's as hot as it is out this week and into this weekend. Nothing beats some of that watermelon and cantaloupe. And before we finish, too, I want to recognize a longtime employee who's retiring. Tell us about Lisa.
Yeah, we've got some wonderful employees at Allegri Farm Market. But, you know, Lisa's been with us since August the 10th of 2006.
Wow.
She worked every Saturday and Sunday, has a full-time job elsewhere during the week, and very seldom missed a day in 20 years.
Wow.
And she's always had the best interest of the market in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's just done a great job, and we're really going to miss her.
Yeah.
I can't blame her. She's worked there 20 years.
Yeah, she's been there, and I'm sure, of course, you guys love her there, but she has made so many friends that are more like family that have come through shopping at Allegri Farm Market and get her great customer service. So congratulations, Lisa. Wow, what a hard-working 20 years there at Allegri Farm Market, and we wish you the best in retirement. And we appreciate your time this morning, Vince.
Okay, enjoy being here, and I look forward to seeing all the people in the market.
You got it. That's Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market and what's on the farm this week. If you haven't been by Allegri Farm Market, you got to get out there. They're at the intersection of State Highway 181 and County Road 64 in Daphne. If you're traveling on the interstate, they're about 4 miles south of I-10 at exit 38. You can't miss it. Big, big American flag hanging above the Allegri Farm Market. And, you know, they redid their parking lot here not that long
ago.
Yeah,
it's nice.
A lot of room out there to park by Allegri Farm Market. And their hours, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sundays, they're open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So they're open 7 days a week. And that is what's on the farm this week at Allegri Farm Market.
What's on the radio is this. FM Talk 106.5 celebrating America's 250th birthday with the America 250 Summer Showcase. This is a lot of fun. We're celebrating some local businesses, and we're also giving you a chance to win amazing prizes, including, I think, the best grand prize that I've seen since I've been associated with FM Talk 106.5, and there's a couple of ways you can win.
Yeah, there are a couple of ways you can win, and you can not just stick to one way to win. You can post your picture on Facebook, because every single week we have a Facebook Patriotic Photo Contest. After all, this is the America 250 Summer Showcase, and we already had our first week winner, Buddy. He dropped by yesterday and picked up his American-made American flag courtesy of American Legacy Company down there in Gulf Shores. And he was a happy man as he walked out of here with that first week's winning. But we do that every single week until the end of August on our Facebook pages. What you need to do is look for the pinned post to the top of our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. I should say our Nappy award-winning Facebook page. It's the pinned page to the top. Click on that. You'll see some photos already posted there of other contestants. But just whatever your patriotism means to you, however you want to show that off, yeah. Some images you've taken. You can even set up an image. You know, this weekend, maybe you've got the house looking right. It's going to be beautiful out there in that summer weather with the green grass and green trees. Post a picture of that, or maybe you have one from the Independence Day festivities earlier this month, and then whoever gets the most likes on that photo from week to week will be our Facebook Patriotic Photo Contest winner. They will get that flag, courtesy of American Legacy Company, and their name in the drawing for the grand prize, which we'll draw from on September 1st. But you can also go to any of the participating sponsor locations and do it the old-fashioned way. Drop your name in the box, and each location we'll draw one name on August 31st, and the following day we will draw for the grand prize consisting of a winner from each location plus our Facebook winners. And that grand prize is insane. And our sponsors, the locations you can go to, you have J&M Tackle, Gray's Craze here in Mobile, Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly, many locations where you can enter there across Mobile and Baldwin counties. Also G&D Farm Feed and Outdoors. Enter in those places, and that grand prize from J&M Tackle, a $2,500 fishing and outdoor package, including an Angler's Mate Senior Fishing Cart, a TurtleBox Gen 3 Bluetooth speaker, those are awesome, a Yeti Tundra 45 cooler done up in the patriotic colors for your America 250, and then the fishing gear, two Quantum Merit 3000 spinning combos, two Quantum Merit 6000 surf combos, plus a J&M SureHold rope handle bucket, and that'll be filled with a about $250 in fishing tools and tackle, along with a $50 J&M gift card. From Gray's Craze, $500 worth of charcuterie boards or boxes. From Cart Doctor, a $500 value on the Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth soundbar. It's waterproof, dustproof, and dirtproof with LED lighting, 8 marine-grade speakers pumping 500 watts. You can put that on your boat, of course, your golf cart, or just ATV. Maybe your four-wheeler can hold that. Whatever you can put it on, it'll run well. And then G&D Farms, a $600 sportsman's package. And from Piggly Wiggly, a $500 shopping spree at any location in Mobile or Baldwin County. Took me about 10 minutes to get through that one grand prize that one person is going to win at the end of this.
That tells you everything right there.
So register today. And we're having a great time with this, especially looking at those great photos on our Facebook page.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And keep them coming. Again, two different ways to win, including you can go to the Piggly Wiggly on University. That's where Dolphin.
Dolphin. Yeah.
We had a young visitor said she wanted to see where Mr. Dolphin works. Earlier this week, you were out of the office.
And you said works? He doesn't do that.
He works.
So a lot to get to in this hour, though.
We got a lot. Can we get to this guy real quick?
Please, yeah.
All right, so a Florida congressional candidate, I heard that he had made these remarks. I'm thinking, certainly not. He didn't say that. No, he did. He's a Florida congressional candidate, write-in. He's a Republican. His name is William Upton. He's a former Marine, and I'll just let his words speak for themselves.
Yeah, and this was in about a six-minute video.
Long video, but this was the part of the video everybody was talking about. This is about 25 seconds long.
We are at war with evil. This is a war between God and the Antichrist. There is no doubt in my mind that the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is the Antichrist. He is a false messiah, and he is your enemy, and he must be killed.
Must be killed?
Wow.
So here's the only reaction I've seen so far is like a good old tongue lashing. But nothing. It's against the law to make a threat against the President of the United States. Surely.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Well, that explicitly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like he did 86-47 in shells on the beach.
Exactly. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that there were repercussions over that. How about that right there? So the U.S. Marine Corps condemned Upham, saying that he was medically discharged in May of last year. The Marine Corps is aware of the disturbing statements made by William Upham. They wrote on or that they wrote that this on X. The comments made by Upham are a direct violation of the oath he swore to uphold and not in keeping with the service's values. Yeah, I don't think so. Also, the U.S. Secret Service acknowledged the comments. In a statement to Fox News Digital, the U.S. Secret Service is aware of the comments made by a congressional candidate in Florida. We're investigating anything that can be perceived as a threat toward one of our protectees, spokesperson said. Out of concern for operational security, we do not discuss matters of protective intelligence. I don't know why he's not behind bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know if he's even gotten a knock on the door. If he hasn't, I'm sure it's coming soon.
You would think.
Where they'll ask him about it. But, you know, also,
this is a man who's been, he survived assassination attempts.
Yeah.
This is no joke.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because all of these different political races across the country, we hear people saying insane things, and sometimes they're polling really well. You're like, how can this person potentially mm-hmm. win that race when they're clearly anti-American or yep. just saying the most off-the-wall stuff you can imagine? Well, this William Upham, he sounds to me, looks to me like he has some issues going on up top, and that's probably the most obvious thing I can say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is clicking up there, but he's a write-in candidate, so it's not like he's polling near the top of the,
no.
of the 5th Congressional District, but and pretty much anyone can run, from what I understand, but still, incredibly disconcerting statements, and how has he not been
I don't know.
Further investigated at
do
this
not,
point?
I do not know. Anyway,
there he is.
You know, I'm,
and
I'm,
he's, you know, there are a lot of people that think that. There's some crazy stuff going on in this country, and I don't know what it can be attributed to. Mental health, certainly a major factor in it, but what is causing that, where people, and they just, I don't know if it's their own silos they're going into on the internet where everyone is saying the same thing and they're all kind of bouncing off these walls and going, man, he is the Antichrist. Man, I need to kill him. But we're seeing a lot of the same stuff with these AI CEOs and mm-hmm. And other big national public figures. Of course, I don't know if there's one person in the entire world that has more people that want him dead than the president of the United States right now.
Yeah, so
nationally and internationally.
You have a billboard in Iran, in Tehran itself, in the capital. The billboard is a picture of Trump in a coffin and saying that's their intent to kill him. You now have a Republican congressional candidate in Florida.
Is he running as a Republican? Is that what he said?
Yeah. So he is... So these things have got to be taken seriously. Look at the group that they busted ahead of the
UFC,
the UFC on the White House lawn.
Yeah. So there's going to be a reckoning at some point because I think a lot of it has to do with social media. A lot of it has to do with just living online and watching a lot of these videos from people like this Upham who are saying the end is nigh and that people need to die. Just incredibly disconcerting. But, you know, I was mentioning the AI CEOs, and that's a story up on the Wall Street Journal this morning where they're reporting that digital threats, and then even more than digital threats, where people try to put it into action, but digital threats against AI executives and data centers have increased sevenfold. And that's just between late February of this year and May, where their numbers stop on this report. A man allegedly attempted to firebomb the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, tried to firebomb his home. Anthropic, another AI company, has reported several threats. Many more executives now traveling with armed guards. And I don't think it's that far off the reservation to say so many communities are upset with the pace that these data centers are moving into their backyards that there will probably end up being some threats directed towards the data centers themselves, with people trying to show their displeasure through vandalism and destroying them, if it hasn't already been happening.
I bet it has already been happening, and you wonder what security was like when the gentleman that we interviewed showed up to the meeting up in
with Silicon Ranch.
Yeah,
that fella. I don't know, but this is going to be the story going forward.
Yeah.
Both AI and how comfortable Americans are with assisting in advancing our AI technology faster than other nations, which would mean we need more data centers. You need more energy production in order to support those data centers. And you listen to the president, you listen to Tommy Tuberville. This week alone, both are saying this could be the next gold rush. This is the next gold rush. And Tuberville wants a lot of that in Alabama.
Yep.
Trump, with New York being the first state to put a one-year moratorium on any data centers coming in, Trump is, he specifically said Alabama and states like and around Alabama could really benefit from having these data centers in these rural areas. I would love your thoughts. Not that this conversation will end anytime soon. 251-343-0106.
Little shift to the conversation, but also you had Amy Coney Barrett, in front of Congress talking about security in her own life and her children's lives.
And I wanted to get to some of that yesterday, too. She sounds awfully scared, you know, and they've noted that a lot of her votes have changed since that Roe v. Wade leak.
Mm-hmm.
She's lining up more with the liberals on the court. But, yeah, she sounded terrified in that hearing the other day.
822, Dan and Dalton.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
What's going on, y'all? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825. Been in Mobile a long time, and I'm not from Mobile, but I certainly have spent a lot of time here, and I love to spend time. Well, people I've met along the way and the businesses that support other local businesses and charities and things like that, and Casey and the folks at Piggly Wiggly, they would certainly be all of that. I love shopping at those locally owned Piggly Wigglies in Mobile and Baldwin County, famous for their farm fresh meat and produce, and their butchers will, they'll even custom cut your steaks, roast, pork, just the way you want them. They stock local fruits and vegetables whenever they're available, and you always are greeted by friendly people. For instance, at on University, great store, huge store. And this week you're going to find certified Angus beef sirloin steaks, just $7.99 a pound. Fresh boneless pork tenderloins, only $2.99 a pound. And Sanderson Farms Fryer wings, have some wings this weekend, $1.99 a pound. And sweet, juicy watermelons, only $6.99 each. Plus, pick up the 3 6-packs of Coke for just $12. Hometown service, hometown values, and hometown savings. And locations like Mount Vernon and Georgetown and Moffett Road, Fairhope, Foley. And right now, you can register to win our America 250 Showcase Grand Prize at the 13 locally owned Piggly Wiggly locations.
Nah, now I'm hungry. How about that?
Yeah, good.
827, also making the national news, and there's been a lot of talk in the national media these last few weeks about military flyovers and flybys and getting a little too close to the public. Remember, there were, what, 8 pilots of the helicopters that were doing a flyover for Independence Day, and they were initially reprimanded by their superiors there, and then Hegseth came down and said, nah, let them slide on that. They were just giving the people a good show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our big show is this weekend, and that's the Blue Angels flying at the Pensacola Beach Air Show. And they started their thing yesterday with Breakfast with the Blues, and we're flying. And then today, the full practice show begins this afternoon at 2. But a video went viral from yesterday's flyovers where they did a sneak pass, which is a pretty traditional thing they do throughout the week, and really buzzed the beach while they were flying. And there's some great video. NBC 15 has it up with tents and chairs and everything flying. And the initial shock from the spectators who were in absolute awe, even a little fear in there, kind
of. Sure, of course.
And then followed by just excitement, right? But ABC News and many others were covering this last night on the national level and make it sound like a bit of a different story. Here was David Muir last night on ABC News, ABC World News Tonight, talking about our Blue Angels.
A terrifying flyover for many. Dramatic video tonight showing a low-altitude flyover by the famous Blue Angels just above the beach in Pensacola, Florida. People could be heard screaming, umbrellas, tents, beach chairs, all sent flying. Here's Gio Benitez.
This is the shocking moment. A Navy Blue Angel fighter jet flies just feet over a packed Pensacola beach during an air show this morning. The jet dangerously low.
I've been coming for 10 years, and I've never seen a pass like that in my life.
Watch again. One Blue Angel jet flies right above the water, and seconds later, a second jet roaring over a stunned crowd. The incident coming just days after the military suspended 8 Apache helicopter pilots for this flyover on a South Carolina beach. But just days later, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth reversing the punishment. Tonight, the Blue Angels tell ABC News they are conducting a safety review.
And David, beach flyovers by the Blue Angels in Pensacola are actually routine. They do it around air shows, but this one was extremely low, and that is very unusual, David.
Yeah, so they make it sound like absolutely awful that they did this.
They used the word stunned.
And they said just feet above their head. I mean, it was maybe dozens of feet, but yeah.
So what their intent is to stun the crowd. that's what they're trying to do. So he talks about the stunned crowd.
Yeah.
Well, the crowd kind of knows what they're in for. That was a sneak attack a little bit.
Yeah, and they didn't mention any of the crowd goers like NBC 15 did. Like Lily on the beach said, it was thrilling. I thought it was going to be, you know, just watch a plane fly, but it was cool. Lane said, I'm going to remember that probably for the rest of my life. Samantha said she thought it was Fat Albert. It was so big and so close. But she said it was worth it. It was awesome. ABC News didn't include any of that.
Imagine that. 8:30.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35 on a Thursday. Going to chat with the man that knows all about. He's got all the data. He doesn't have a data center yet, but that could be coming. Rob Holbert with Lanyap. How are you, Rob?
I'm working on a data center in my yard right now.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, well,
I found out that the county commission can't do anything to stop it.
No, they can't stop you, man.
No, and I was wondering. We're going to celebrate the Nappies this week, tomorrow night, the Nappy Awards. But
tomorrow night, yeah.
For next year's voting, maybe favorite or best data center. That could definitely be a category.
It could be, yeah. We will have enough by then, I think, that we can have a category for data centers. Your favorite one, cutest one, least favorite one, maybe.
Yeah. Let's dive into that, Rob, and I know you guys are covering it and covering it on both sides of the bay. Really, I think the most discussion on these things began, of course, with the solar farm project out in Stockton and the pushback on that, and then the zoning referendum, which came a little too late for those folks who were wanting to keep Silicon Ranch out. But there are already some data centers in our own backyard that made it through with less news coverage. But now every single one of them is getting the news coverage, including one they're looking at, a data center, not a solar installation, but a data center in Calvert and one in Pritchard, too. And both say they're going to use these closed-loop water systems, which has been a big issue with data centers and older data centers, really, across the country, just the amount of water that they use to keep their cooling systems running. But still, a lot of pushback on this, and the Mobile County Commission, much like the Baldwin County Commission and that Stockton project, kind of throwing their hands up and saying, listen, you guys moved out to the country for a reason. There's not much we can do about this.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was – they had a meeting the other day, and, people showed up to complain about it, and there were some pretty wild claims made that some people said that the data center up there would cause the temperature to go up by 20 degrees within a 5-mile radius or something like that.
And make all farm animals infertile.
The livestock would become infertile. You wouldn't be able to see the stars anymore because there would be a lot of lights. I don't know why there would be so many lights, but anyway, those things, I don't know how realistic some of those fears are, but the realistic issues for it are power usage, water usage. Those are huge things. Not to mention just there's, the talk of noise pollution. There's some, people say, hey, there's a hum that goes along with them. And they don't seem to be very popular on either side of the political aisle. Mm-hmm. Tommy Tuberville said the other day, hey, they're coming and just get used to it because we're going to have them. When you look, I just read a story yesterday about, in a 13-state area up in the Northeast, it stretches all the way down to Tennessee, actually, that a power grid there, the data centers are going to add something to the effect of like $6 billion in costs to consumers, because of the power usage.
Yeah, and
it,
Well, Commissioner Randall Dewitt, he was on with Sean yesterday on Midday Mobile, and he gave his thoughts just like he does all the time at the county commission meeting on Monday when all those claims were coming out, and they were basically, you know, really going after those commission members and saying, you need to take these problems to Montgomery. We need legislation that stops this from happening. And Commissioner Dewitt, like I've heard from so many of our listeners during zoning conversations of the past when data centers weren't as big of an issue, they say, listen, we don't, you invite the government in to take care of this problem, but then they're going to be taking care of other problems that maybe you don't want them to, or at least confronting other issues that they feel need to be taken care of. So I think this debate, it's going to rage and go on for a really long time. But I did think it was notable that both Tuberville, who is the odds on favorite to be the next governor, but also Trump specifically mentioning Alabama as a place where many of these could go.
Yeah, well, you know, because it is a place where there isn't as much regulation. It is that double-edged sword we have all the time. People want government interference, intervention when it's something they want, but the rest of the time they don't want it. Those things can you can get it a lot of times when you don't want it, and it's a circumstance we have here is that, you see some states have put a moratorium on them. We're not going to do any more of these things right now. I think, to me, at the very minimum, what ought to have to happen is that there needs to be a complete assessment of what our power capabilities are, what the power grid can handle, and you can't allow anything that is going to add to that burden without more transmission of power. And that's and that can't get into the whole thing of, swapping credits and all that kind of junk they do for other stuff that's not real. I mean, I think we need to really say, hey, this is how much electricity we generate. It can't be on the backs of the ratepayers.
So the latest state to do what you were talking about was New York, and their governor, Kathy Hochul, issued an executive order temporarily stopping permits for data centers consuming at least 50 megawatts of electricity. So you had Trump. Trump, though, in the same story, was calling data centers money machines. It's a money machine. So he says that money just kind of flies out of it.
Is that what those do, by the way?
I'm sure it's a money machine for certain people.
Those
people are not me, you, or, none of us.
Tuberville.
You won't have the code.
So you've got Trump wildly popular in the state of Alabama, and he says these are money machines. Also, Tuberville, very popular Republican and about to be the governor, I'm quite sure. He supports attracting the facilities. He says their tax revenue. They're talking about these simply as being all on the side of we're all going to make a bunch of money out of this, and it's going to help support the tax revenue could help finance schools and hospitals and public infrastructure. So I don't know what the truth is, but there's some of the statements.
The other side of all of this too is that when you look at, all of this, of course, is to support AI, the vast amount of AI usage. And when you look at the AI companies, they are not making money at this point. And a lot of what people are using is being subsidized by those losses. And, so when you've looked at, for instance, Walmart and Uber are two companies that when they started getting charged full rate, for what they were using, they blew through their AI budget in the first quarter for the whole year, and they backed off quickly. So, we don't know long-term what the usage level is going to be. What if we build all these things and then there's not the level of usage and the money machine isn't quite as much as we think? Or, I think, again, it's kind of a craze. There's a mania for it right now, and I do think the best part it would be to have a real assessment of what you have and what what we can do and what it will do to us versus saying let's just put them in here and we'll let the chips fall where they may and we'll figure out how to come up with the electricity for it later, because we know who'll get charged for it. We know who'll get hit with it, and I mean the common ratepayer is going to end up seeing their rates go up, and I think that's not something most people want. And, the code to the money machine is not going to be available to all of us.
Yeah. And you mentioned, the one-year moratorium that Hochul put on. That's exactly what Doug Jones, who is Tuberville's opponent in that gubernatorial, he's calling for the exact same thing. So that'll make that storyline in the election pretty interesting too. But I agree with you. The power bills is such a big burden if the people end up having to take that on. What I wanted to mention was that during Commissioner DeWitt's conversation yesterday, he said, you know, if they're just paying their power bill like anyone else, I don't see how that'll affect anyone else. But I also agree with what you said, Rob, that do we have the power available to support all of these? And are we truly not subsidizing them with either our rates going up or those tax credits and things that you mentioned? I just don't want to see us get ran over because we say, hey, we're Alabama, we have all of this land. I feel like we need to use that leverage and try to get a little something out of it for ourselves if they're going to be putting these in our own backyards.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the big issue. It's not, and I would agree with him, if they're just paying their power bills and it's not bothering people, that's fine if they're paying for all of it. But if it's an issue where the electrical generation is, you know, if our grid is pushed too far, or we don't have enough electricity, or Alabama Power says, oh, well, we're going to have to build so much more stuff that everybody else is going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, then that'll be a problem.
Yeah, so those are things that, I mean, yeah, it can come up. You know, I mean, we don't know, you know, and that's the thing. It's everybody's sort of feeling their way, and it's not been something where there's actual answers to all those things.
There's no data.
No data.
There's no data on the data. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Talking with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And last week, we really wanted to have a discussion, too, about this Bayou La Batterie Housing Board and the latest on that. You loved or at least in your commentary online, the smackdown from, was it Judge Wesley Pipes last week who was overseeing this appeal, actually, from the woman and man that were running the Bayou La Batterie Housing Board and then gave themselves that ultra cushy retirement package. And the judge said, this is just completely out of bounds. He was almost like, I don't even know why you would have appealed that and brought it back to me. But
he was incredulous. What they did was a countersuit. They're being sued by the Bayou La Batterie Housing Board to try to claw back some money that was given to them. And this was an older story. It started in 2019. Virginia Huddleston, Darrell Wilson, she was the director of the housing authority down there, and he worked for her. He's her husband. And they just would go back to the board over and over and get these more and more lavish contracts. And at the very end, they were given a contract that said they could get a $4.2 million lump sum retirement payment. They'd worked there for 7 years, you know, and so, and they, what they were going to do was sell the only thing that the Bayou La Batterie Housing Board had, which is that piece of property. They were going to sell that and then give them all the money. And, you know, it's been a completely crazy story from the word go, but it was funny to see Judge Pipes when he was looking at in his order, shooting down their countersuit to try to get that money. It was incredulous. This is the most insane thing ever. And
it was good to see his words, because this story has made my eyes cross from the very beginning. Like, what is going on here? It almost didn't make any sense. And you also, why isn't the board coming under more scrutiny? I mean, they're the ones.
They
approved it, right?
They did, and they are being included in the suit. But you know, that's the part that nobody has ever explained, and that's the part I hope will come out in this. Trial. It's a civil trial.
Yeah.
But I hope will come out that what in the world were they thinking? I mean, nobody has ever explained why the board. I mean, other than hypnosis, there's nothing else I can understand.
Why
a board would do this?
Why did this couple? What kind of leverage? Maybe did this couple have over the board members? Maybe.
I don't know. You know, they came back. They started out as, you know, relatively low paid employees, and they would come back and get more and more, you know, more pay all the time. They would get, I mean, they were working, I mean, the judge worked out, they worked about half the year.
Mm-hmm.
They had 6 hour days instead of 8 hour days. They got half day off on Friday. They had tons of vacation time. They had, you know, the board helped pay for her, some education for her. It was just on and on and on. And then in the end, they came up with that crazy retirement plan. That's something when I think the trial will begin in October, and so I'm really interested to see if
anybody can ever get to the bottom of.
That's good.
What
be.
Were they thinking?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know, I gather what Virginia and her husband were thinking, that, that they deserve. I mean, she says in there that she deserves that money.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they feel that they deserve $4 million for 7 years' work.
Yeah.
And the judge worked out, like, if you worked somewhere else, this is how long, you know, this is what retirement plan, you would have to be there like 50 years to get this sort of retirement. And it would still not be paid out in a lump.
I mean, that job being as stressful as it is, thank goodness they only had to work a half day Friday, John.
I mean, seriously, it was something. I don't know. It's a really crazy story. And they avoided, I think they, I mean, I know there was an attempt to go after them criminally. I think probably the thing that saved them most is that it didn't go through.
Yep.
But, I mean, the judge is definitely like, this is just a complete, you know,
farce.
Board just abdicated its authority completely.
Absolutely insane story. And that's just one of many with some in-depth investigations from the Lanyap team. And it is Nappies Week. I know that you enjoy, it's a lot of hard work for the crew there, but you must enjoy the party. And I think your journalists there have to enjoy really digging in on some of these Nappy finalists or Nappy winners, I should say, that normally wouldn't get that kind of treatment, that in-depth review. And I learn a lot about so many of these companies and places and restaurants around here. I enjoy it a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, it's fun for everybody to get to write a story, a feature on the winners and to tell their story a little bit. We don't do one for everybody, but we pick several and do those, and they're in the paper this week. And it's, you know, that part is just really, it's always very rewarding to go out and to see people, how happy they are to win a Nappy, to get recognition from the folks voting. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times people, there may not be an award ceremony, you know, awards for their particular business all the time. And so this is a nice recognition that people get.
You've created
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've created one of the biggest nights in Mobile. And it is now putting it on Friday, of course, that allows us all to enjoy it.
That's right.
And so
I will
see you Friday.
Give full credit to my partner, Ashley. She does the vast majority of all this stuff, and it's her baby. She makes it happen.
It's been something.
It's been a good time, and it's always nice when we're doing it, and it's always nice when it's over.
All right. Well, thanks, Rob. Great stuff. Lanyapmobile.com. You can sign up for the online version and get those stories as soon as they're published, and you can read them digitally. Great stuff, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right, guys, y'all have a great day.
You got it. Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile. It's 852 FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. Dan and Dalton, and we'll look over some texts that you've sent our way, 251-343-0106.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
That's it. Bid you farewell. Jeff Poore on the way. How's this show looking?
Well, a name we've mentioned several times this morning in regards to the data center talk, Senator Tommy Tuberville joining Jeff in hour number one, gubernatorial candidate. Looking forward to what he has to say. April Marie Fogle with 1819 News joins Jeff in the second hour. And then with, nominee for Attorney General, the Republican nominee, Katherine Robertson joins Jeff in hour number three as she prepares for that November 11th election that's on the way. And don't forget, we're less than a month out from the special congressional elections in Alabama. For us, affected by AL District 1 and AL 2, that one's interesting to look at as well, as Representative Figures decided to stay in that race, even though District 2, like it used to, covers mainly just the Wiregrass region of the state. But you had Rhett Marcus, who jumped from the AL 1 race into the AL 2 race, along with others. And a lot of national attention on that because the House is so close right now between the Democrats and Republicans, and that race could end up being a really close one too. But that'll be right around the corner, August 11th. We're voting in districts 1, 2, 6, and 7 in Alabama.
Corpus Christi Catholic Church is going to be, there's just going to be just so many folks. That's a little church in the neighborhood off of Hillcrest there. And this is a big event today. Mm-hmm. Sam Cochran, the former Mobile police chief and the former sheriff of Mobile County, there's memorial services this morning. I think it starts at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, a man that many, many, many people loved. He'll be laid to rest today. So visitation begins at 11 a.m., Corpus Christi Catholic Church. then the massive Christian burial will follow at 2 p.m. today.
Okay.
And then internment at Mobile Memorial Gardens and a celebration of life at the Church Community Center. And again, this has been in the works for about a week now. They've been putting this together because, like Dan said, there are going to be so many people paying their respects today. The family encourages donations to the Drug Education Council in lieu of flowers for today's service honoring and the life of former Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran.
A life of service.
It was, and it's been enlightening hearing, too, from so many of his close friends over this last week, including the current Mobile County Sheriff, Paul Birch, and in his Ask the Sheriff Hour with Sean, they went in depth on Sheriff Cochran and his legacy and what he meant to Birch, means to Birch. And then Commissioner Randall Dewitt as well yesterday, who I referenced his Facebook post after Sheriff mm-hmm. Cochran, after the news came out that he passed, and how loving and nice that post was. And he shared his thoughts on the air yesterday, too. So, yeah, it'll be an emotional day for many people today.
Yeah, you know, for somebody who was had so much authority for so many years, he didn't carry himself like he himself was a big deal. He was a dedicated law enforcement man, and he seemed to go about his business in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect, but I'm just saying, anytime I was in any kind of setting with Sam Cochran, he was just a very thoughtful, straight-up guy.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk to so many people here, so many people that we get to talk to, and it's absolutely amazing. But they have such difficult jobs, and jobs where I can't imagine the emotional weight that it holds over them. Or, you know, because I'm speaking from my own point of view, the emotional weight that it would hold over me if mm-hmm. I held those same positions. And there's no way that I could carry it the same way that, and nobody carries it the same way. But every time I saw Sheriff Cochran, when he would come in to the station to do Ask the Sheriff mm-hmm. or whatever reason I would come by him, he always had a smile. He yep. was all he had so much wisdom, like I said, and he was all too willing to pass that along to whoever. He was an awesome man.
Yeah, and part of that wisdom is to the way you just day to day, moment to moment, the way you treat people.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the wisdom to understand, that's maybe just part of our job as humans, is to do that. Seems like a little part, but it's when you're somebody like the sheriff or like the police chief, you carry a lot of weight, and your actions do say everything about your
character,
and how you wish to represent your community. I mean,
yeah.
it's all amazing guy.
8:58. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Maybe more Blue Angels talk on the national media. We'll get into that and more. Jeff Poore is on the way next.